The Bible reading this morning will be taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18. Ron will also be teaching from chapter 5. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Christ's sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
So we've been walking through treacle still. You know, that time when we're just walking through life and life is difficult. What do you do when those times are happening? Well, we've had various things that Paul has suggested all the way through about how you tackle life's problems. And here he gives a key to getting through the difficult times. And it's in chapter 4, and it applies to chapter 5 as well. So we're going to be looking a little bit at that. What it tells us at the beginning is, if you are a Christian, if you are following the Christian path, then don't expect life to be easy. I know most people do. You know, life should be easy. We've almost got this mantra about us of saying, somehow, life should be easy, and if you're a Christian, it should be even easier, because you've got God on your side. Have you heard that one? Oh dear. But it's not that easy. In fact, life can be pretty harsh. We all have difficulties to overcome, and it's not because you lack faith, and it's not because you lack prayer. I know you lack prayer, okay, but it's not because of that. It's not as if, you know, you pray and everything instantly goes all right. That doesn't happen. Well, it doesn't happen in my life, so why should it happen in yours? Hard times do come. Teenagers with social pressures, exams, and finding every time they try to achieve something to prove they're now acceptable, the bar is raised. How harsh is that? Or students with college pressure and debt finding out who they really are and whether their loneliness and their emptiness are the same thing and whether it's a permanent state or not. And yes, I know they try and drown it in alcohol and drown it with all sorts of other experiences, but they're trying to come to terms with something, who they are. And we hope they find it in Christ. Then there's those looking for work that they can do that promises sufficient reward. Life is harsh because there's no little light bulb that turns on. It's a trial and error thing. You dip into something and see if you like it sufficiently to stay. And then there are those stuck in the wrong career who hate their lives and the meaninglessness of it all, saying, I'm stuck. Don't know if you've been there. Then there's the feeling of being trapped in the wrong relationships and burdened with past decisions. Well, I would have a good life if only I could get rid of my bad decisions in the past. I would have a lovely life if I abandoned this family and abandoned my spouse there and did something else. And people have been feeling trapped. How do you deal with that? How do you walk through that treacle? Life can be harsh because things go wrong. Later on, usually later on, it's our health. Cool, that's a big one, isn't it? We're faced with our own mortality. The scares we get with pneumonia and heart problems and the big C and melanomas and strokes and the lack of mobility. That is real life. And I can't stand here and say, it's because you haven't prayed enough, you know. You got a bad leg? Yeah, it's because you haven't got enough faith. Life is harsh. And you're not excluded from that when you get close to God. You are a clay vessel. And having Jesus in your life doesn't stop you being a clay vessel. I love that story that was told. A damaged vessel. Wasn't it great? It's not that I'm so glad that the clay vessel didn't get magically repaired. And I'm also glad that it didn't get thrown away and replaced with a new one. And that's the nature of our God. He doesn't put you on a scrap heap. And he doesn't make you perfect. Well, apart from me, of course. No, not really. He doesn't make any of us perfect. It doesn't excuse our bad behavior. It doesn't excuse our sin. But somehow he manages to work with us and around us and in us to bring him glory, not you. Life can be pretty harsh when you're dealing with those things. And then there's our money worries in the face of failing health and social care services. All of us are trying to find out where and if we fit in and what value we have in a society increasingly devoid of social concern. And if we don't die, we worry. And that's depressing. And then you say, but I'm a Christian. And you try and hold your head up above the water. And then you see on the news the famines and the droughts and the cruel natural disasters and global warming. And you see suffering in the body and physical decay. And then you see judgment. Judgment from all sorts of people. By society, from individuals, about what we think as well as what we do. And then Christians come along and say, oh, and you're also going to be judged by God. Isn't that good news? Because his standards are much greater, you know. Lovely. The good news is this. Jesus Christ came into the world to save the ungodly, to deal with your sin. Isn't that good news? Life is harsh. And there is a Christian answer to it all. Chapters 4 and 5 of 2 Corinthians, Paul tackles the common problems of life. Suffering and physical decay are in chapter 4. Death is the early part of chapter 5. How do you deal with that? And this idea of judgment, being judged by others and by God. You know, how will your life stack up at the end? He deals with that in chapter 5. And he has the same message for each of those problems. That's good news, by the way. He grabs all of these issues and puts them under the light of Christ in us, the hope of glory. You want to know about problems? Start with Christ in you, the hope of glory. Start with that treasure within. That's where you start, not with the problems. Start with who you are in God. You have been rescued by God. You know, this clay jar has been pulled out of the wreckage and stuffed in it has been a treasure from God. And no one else can see it. From the outside, it looks as if you're just the same as everybody else. But you know within you, there is something from God that says, you're beautiful, you're worth saving, you're worth rescuing, you're worth transforming on the inside. And though the clay jar may remain much the same, he puts infinite worth in you. Eternal worth in you. There are some memorable words used in these areas. He talks about treasures in jars of clay. He talks about we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen and eternal. Chapter 4, verse 18. He goes on in chapter 5 to talk about God has given us the Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. That's in chapter 5, verse 5. We live by faith, not by sight. It's chapter 5, verse 7. We do not look on people as others do. That's chapter 5, verse 16. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Chapter 5, verse 17. These are words that are common to Christian people that have learned their Bibles and learned who they are. And then in chapter 5, verse 21, he says this, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. These are the common words of our Christian faith, are they not? It is Christ who is our answer. It is Christ who has died for us. It is Christ who has put the treasure within. Now I've got to deal with life. I've got to deal with health issues. But the treasure is within. And that is the joy. so while the outside may decay, the inside might be preserved with the glory of God. Paul takes these issues of getting older and more frail, of death and feeling of little worth, and shines the light of the resurrection on them. And his answer is not do more exercise, or make ourselves more useful, or volunteer more, or try and stave off the evil day. His answer is look up and see the glory of your future home in Christ. Look up and see the glory. That's the treasure. Then you can embrace your own frailties. You are a jar of clay. Now, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to get old. Some of you have already got there. You're going to get older, and you're not going to be 21 again. I know, it's disappointing, isn't it? You know, and your hair isn't going to grow long again. It's not going to happen. But if the treasure's within, somehow it fades away. Those things that other people judge you by won't matter, because you have a treasure which will see you into all eternity. Isn't that good news, people? God wants you to see it how it is. It's the now and the not yet of the kingdom, if you like. And he uses five contrast themes to describe the Christian life and outlook. He talks about light in darkness. That's what it's like. You are not the same because you've got light. He talks about power in weakness when everyone else thinks you're fading. He says you've got the spirit within, and that's where the real power is. He talks about life in death when everything else is decaying. You have this treasure within which gives you life. He also talks about faith in silence. When everybody hasn't got a clue, we can say we believe God is in control. We know that God is bringing this to an end, his chosen end. Faith in silence and glory in suffering. That's the big one. Why have you got your aches and pains? Why have you got your troubles with family and friends? Why are things not going right at work? It's not one key. He says, look, there's glory in suffering. Look what happened to Jesus. The Father made him rise from the dead and gave him a throne. And forever, people will worship because he was willing to suffer. All of these things remind us that this world is not our home. We are in the world, but not of the world. We hope from a different perspective because the glory is yet to come. This is not escapism, but living with eternity in mind. When Paul's antagonists were having a go at him and his version of the gospel, when they were saying his methods were not worthy of the more traditional faith, when they questioned his integrity, and this is what he falls back on. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I heard a variation of that one this morning. Where is he? What did you say? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And then you said something. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm passing through this world like a kidney stone. Okay. Which means I'm going to cause a lot of pain to some of you. And when you get rid of me, it'll be fine. You'll see it all. I thought, yeah, some of us are bigger kidney stones than others. The glory is yet to come. This world is not my home. Age will get to me, but it doesn't define who I am. The state of my body will decline, but that doesn't define who I am. Health problems will come because my body was not designed for eternity. The world may judge me on what I am worth to them, but God loves me unreservedly because of the treasure within. One day we will see all this in context and understand that God's plan is perfect, not only on the global scale, but on the individual scale. One day we will understand the way in which weakness is a strength, as Christ showed on the cross. One day we'll value people, including ourselves, differently when we see them through the eyes of Christ. And it will not diminish as we go through the dying process. One day we'll understand how a person can sacrifice themselves for others because they love them. How a person can be a martyr for Christ and still seek his glory even when things go wrong. But we're not there yet. In the light of this, in the light of where we're going, what we are promised in Christ, we live as pilgrims passing through this world. We are different because of the treasure within. We do not value others or ourselves in society's terms, but through the eyes of God who sees all creation through the cross of Christ. We live in society with a different mindset, and we are scrutinized by all, but the only opinion that really matters is God's. And our goals are not the same. We look up and move forward in the world at his bidding. And we speak out because we believe in Christ. And we speak up because we believe in Christ. It's not a matter of private truths, but of eternal glory laid aside for me in Christ. And how do I know that? Because of the treasure within. Isn't that great? So go to work. Look after your family. Do all the things that everyone else does. But remember the treasure within that says you are loved. You are wanted, you are special, because Christ has died for you. Good news? Go live in Christ.